Are in the scriptures, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, a very famous, well-known chapter for Christians. If you've been a Christian of any length of time, the marriage chapter, the divorce chapter, the intimacy within marriage and celibacy issues, very interesting and intriguing verses found in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We managed to get through 16 verses last week, and we're going to finish out most of the chapter. We'll probably just go down to verse 31, so you can just kind of eyeball it. We're going to go from 17 to 31. I will eventually get there. So, many people struggle with that false notion that the grass is greener on the other side of the fence, and that's a really bad philosophy to fall prey to. It's very destructive. I read of a Middle Eastern legend where there's this sheikh that got handed down some property. It was in his family. It had good potential. It was very adequate, and he lived and worked the land there, but he didn't like it. He was always looking at what his friends had and what his friends were doing and where there were better prospects elsewhere for him to strike it rich. And so, you know, he had it enough of that one day and sold the property and moved to a place where he thought it was increased his possibilities of striking it rich. So, as it turned out, not very long after he sold that property, some excavators came in looking for oil. And sure enough, they found big deposits of crude oil, black gold, underneath his very house, his property. And so right there, the new owner became very wealthy, and it was right in between the clothesline and the tire swing. In his ordinary life, in his ordinary place where he's always looking over there, and it was right there under his feet, but he was really quick to want to get out of that situation. Had our friend just held tight and been content with his lot in life, pun intended? Okay, forget it. No pun intended. No pun intended. He wouldn't have missed out on this blessing that was right there, passed down to him, but he just couldn't seem to be content. Well, Paul the Apostle is going to use that argument of simple contentment this morning as he helps answer the Corinthians' very complicated questions about marriage and singleness and their lot in life, their station in life. Now that they had become a Christian, now what? Everything seemed very new, but how do I go back into my old life? They were wanting to make changes, and they weren't very content. There was a lot of discontentment, and Paul had to address that. Some of the believers wanted to change their marital status. They wanted to go from single to married, or from married to single, from unbelieving partners to believing partners. But it didn't stop just with marriage. They were discontent as well with their social status in life. There were slaves who came to faith. They were more like indentured servants than slaves in American history, the Roman Empire that is. And they got saved and they walked off the job. It's a new day. I got a new life. I got a new God in my life. I'm done with this. And so it was creating chaos. Not only that, but the Gentile believers were going to rabbis to try to become Jewish. And the Greek Jews who were getting saved were trying to distance themselves from their own Judaism to fit into their culture. So now that they got saved, it was just spinning their heads. They didn't know from various walks of life, from various statuses with marriage and divorce and all kinds of problems. They're like, now what? So Paul is going to address their question to him. Now, like I did last week, I thought it was helpful to read a possible letter that they asked the question, and then you pick up the answer. And so I'm going to do that again, and then we'll answer the question in verse 17, because verse 17 is an answer to a question. Dear Apostle Paul, and they really did write the letter. He said in chapter 7, verse 1, and now for the matters which you wrote me about. All right? Dear Apostle Paul, wow, Christ has come into my life. And like you said, behold, all things are new. I'm a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. New values. And I've got new goals and new way of thinking. I've got new behavior, a new routine. But what about my old life? What about my position at work? What about my marriage? How does all this newness of life fit into my old life, the life I'm stuck in now at the moment? Signed, Making Changes in Corinth. Dear Making Changes, verse 17. Dear Making Changes, nevertheless, each one should retain the place in life that the Lord assigned to him and to which God has called him. This is the rule I lay down in all the churches, not just you guys. Now I'm going to paraphrase 18 and 19 so that the modern American reader can understand. Verse 18, was a man already Jewish when he was called? He should not become like a Gentile. Was a man a Gentile when he was called? He should not wish to become Jewish. Verse 19, it's not about whether you're Jewish or have a Greek heritage. Now, keeping God's commands is what counts. Now, verse 20. Each one should remain in the situation which he was in when God saved him. Were you a slave when you got saved? Don't let it trouble you, although if you can gain your freedom, do so. For he who was a slave when he was saved by the Lord is the Lord's freedman. Similarly, in the same way, he who was a free man when he was called is Christ's slave. You were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. Verse 24, brothers, each man as responsible to God should remain in the situation God saved him in. All right? Roman numeral number 1, if you're taking notes, serving God where we're at. That's the teaching of the gospel. You serve God as you are in the status in life that the gospel came to you and changed you and set you free. Their misunderstanding, as I kind of alluded to, was this, that newness of life for some meant a blatant disregard and obliteration of all past associations, everything that came before. Hey, it's a new day. And they'd walk into their employer, hey, I got saved. I'm going to heaven. Bye-bye. And that wasn't the way to do it. They were causing chaos in families, in the towns, in their households, in the societies. Everything was coming apart because they were getting saved. And Paul's like, whoa, wait a second, hold on. Barclay, a famous commentator, says this, one of the great heathen complaints against early Christians was that Christianity broke up families and brought social instability. One of the first charges brought against Christians in the Roman Empire was, quote, tampering with domestic relationships. This goes so against the gospel in every way possible. Where the gospel comes in, families are strengthened. Where the gospel comes to a village, that culture and that society is strengthened. Romans 13 says that when you add Christians to a government, it strengthens the government. We are called to submit and to support and to pay our taxes and to give revenue to whom revenue is due, honor to whom honor is due. You see? So when someone gets saved, it's not the undoing, it's the building up, it's the stability. And